guys. After the show, be sure to join us at the bar, get $1 off your drink if you're a ticket from this show. Guys, give it up for Solom!
Solom is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird grope. You're worth it.
Setting up my triple redundancy recording back up. Hi everybody, welcome to Sawbones, a misguided tour of medical... Wait, let me try again.
Back it up.
It's, just an edit here.
Pepsi Max.
Just cut at this point. Cut in.
Hello everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney.
This is Sawbones, which is the medical history show we do together, and today we're doing it in New York City. New York City, not only the home of some of the best salsa, but there's so many, it's such a big, it's the Big Apple, there's so many Lady Liberty here, pizza, like the first pizza was here, the first... with both the Ghostbusters.
My sister's here.
Your sister's here. So Cindy's sister Taylor is here. Oh, she's literally here, by the way. Hi, Taylor. Is there anything I'm forgetting?
Well, it's also the home of the first riot in America. The first riot that ever happened, can you believe it, right here in New York?
It's not really as like good as my Ghostbusters ones, or not really happy.
It's pretty,
or sure.
It's a big deal.
Well, so what was it about? I'm assuming it was over like the Yankees. You guys like?
Well, it was in 1788. I don't think
which original Ray's pizzas are real. The Battle of the Rays.
Well, predictably, it was about cadavers. Corpses. Dissecting dead people?
Go back to the beginning. You've lost here. We're 5 minutes in. I'm lost.
Okay. Well, I want to tell you about the first riot, but before we get there, I need to kind of give you some history of dissection. So we're going to talk about cutting up dead people for a while.
Right now, I assume there is a percentage of this audience that has not listened to Sawbones before that. You'll be able to tell them because they're looking at the person they brought them like this. What is this show?
Is this happening?
Is this art? I promise this wasn't art.
So, of course, I went to medical school, and key to medical education is dissecting a cadaver. So, to learn anatomy, not for fun, not for funsies, for learning.
But also, you thought it was fun.
No.
A lot of big questions you're confronted by, I guess.
Yes, that's fair.
Right. Profound.
It was profound.
Fair.
And that's kind of intrinsic to learning about the human body. You have to, cut it open and take a peek inside. And we've been doing that for a really long time. In ancient Egypt, they used to dissect corpses, although not really to learn about them. It was just part of the burial process, so they could, put their organs in all the nice little jars.
They thought the organs maybe went bad at a different rate for the rest of the body.
That was it.
Your stomach's gonna smell bad first, so we're gonna put that in a jar.
They pickled them.
Perfect. Delicious.
So it was okay. It was cool to dissect bodies because it was part of a religious, belief. In Greece, it was actually technically illegal to do that, but people did it anyway, and nobody really stopped anybody. So
There were a lot of things happening in Greece at the time. You have to understand. This was like way down the priority list.
Exactly. And it was purely in pursuit of knowledge. So a lot of the physicians would, you know, dissect cadavers, and they'd have their medical students around, and it was all very, I don't know, everybody wearing togas, and they looked very serious.
You know, Greece.
Like, you guys know what Greece is like, right?
You're Greece, it's Greece. You know, just Greece.
And they published all kinds of drawings and texts, and they put together all kinds of collections of this information, which was really important because in Rome, it was illegal, and they took it seriously.
It was a hard line against it.
Yes, there was no dissecting. I'm sure that people tried, but for the most part, it wasn't widespread, which is why a lot of Galen, who was one of the prominent Roman physicians, a lot of his drawings and his anatomical writings are all either secondhand, they were all based on the Greek stuff, or they were from primates that he dissected. And just kind of said, it was a human.
Trust me.
I promise. Which is why it was actually, a lot of it turned out to be kind of wrong.
Oh, good.
But that was a big problem in anatomy for a long time, was trying to reconcile that. A common misconception is that the church was against dissection. That is not true.
We have actually maybe said that at some point during our podcast before, actually.
Yes.
We may have perpetuated that particular myth.
I think I have.
Possibly.
Because as I dug into this, I thought, well, of course the church was against it, obviously, any kind of like progress that, you know, back we're talking medieval.
Talking about the Middle Ages, it's very different.
Don't get
your hackles on the cockle or whatever. Okay? You too, chill. We're just saying at that time.
There was the whole, like, you know, what's the center of the universe, Earth, something.
The whole thing, okay? Back then. Not now.
And we're redeeming them. The church wasn't against it.
Right.
No.
So that was just our misconception, so sorry about that.
No. there's actually, it was a papal edict that was totally misinterpreted. At the time, it was common practice, if you were a soldier and you died overseas, away from your home country, they knew that you'd want to be buried in your home country. So to get you back there without having to carry like a lot of dead bodies back, they would cut the bodies into little pieces, boil them, remove the bones, and then take the bones back home to bury them. Well, that's how the Pope felt.
Okay. All right. Finally, me and the Pope find common ground. Except for the hats. We both love the hats.
The Pope said, please don't do that.
That's gross, guys.
That's really gross. Please stop. And somehow that was misinterpreted as don't dissect cadavers for educational benefit.
Oh, all right.
So,
good to know.
You know, so that, see, okay. In the Middle Ages, as we've mentioned, people were really into gross stuff.
To use clinical terminology.
So dissection started to become really popular, and it was like a big deal. If you were going to dissect a corpse, you would sell tickets. It was like the circus or the fair coming to town. Like, we're going to dissect people, and I mean, everybody came. This started in 1315, so a long time ago. You know, you'd have the anatomist, and then, I don't know, just a ton of people hanging around eating popcorn and having some drinks.
How poor were they?
Did we have popcorn in 1315?
What?
Yeah, we did, right?
Yeah, I invented popcorn in 1315.
You did?
Somebody did. It might as well be me. I want the royalties. I'm sorry.
Da Vinci, of course, secretly dissected people.
Nah.
He wasn't supposed to, but he did.
On the sly.
It was all for
That's what the Da Vinci Code is about, actually. It is, really.
It was all for that Vitruvian Man thing. That was it.
He just really wanted to perfect the Vitruvian Man?
He just wanted to make it perfect. You know?
See, you can't joke. I believe everything you say 100%. Right. No questions.
Now, and the Catholic Church actually paid for a dissection to take place at one point. They hosted one. They kick-started a dissection. In 1533, there were conjoined twins who died, and they wanted to see, this was the reasoning, they didn't know where the soul was, and so they dissected the twins to see where is the soul and do they have one or two.
Haven't their families been through enough? I bet they couldn't find it. Their assumption was, well, conjoined twins don't have souls. That's pretty messed up, conjoined twins.
This was actually pretty commonplace. There were a lot of religious figures who were dissected, especially people who were to become saints later, to see if you could tell a difference when you looked inside the body of a really holy person as opposed to me or you. One, a nun, Chiara of Montefalco, she later became a saint.
Okay.
So after she died, she was dissected, and again, this is purely, we're just trying to figure out the answer here, and it was claimed that they found a crucifix in her heart.
I want to make sure you guys got that look, too. It's going to carry over well for the podcast recording audience, but you guys, but I'll have them call you later and just ask you what it looked like.
More likely they did find this. They claimed that there were 3 gallstones in her gallbladder.
Perfect.
But they thought this represented the Holy Trinity. So.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So proof.
What if there had been 4? They'd be like, whoa, we got this all wrong.
Then she wouldn't be a saint, I guess.
It's another dude.
So, oh, no. In the 17th and 18th century, that's when if you've ever seen, like, operating theaters, like, where they have all the, you know, kind of like this, only in the round, and then we'd be cutting somebody up.
Imagine exactly like this, except Sydney was cutting my body parts out.
Yes. You can imagine that, right? In your mind's eye. So, and that was also really popular. And a lot of the times, again, it was medical students, but you could buy tickets, because if you're going to do something, why not make money off of it?
Sure.
So you could sell tickets, and then if you were a dignitary or a visiting royal, you were always welcome to come and view a dissection. That's part of your royal privilege.
I guess,
if that's what you want to do. But the problem was, this is where we're getting somewhere, I promise.
I believe you. I have utmost faith in you.
The problem was that only certain people were allowed to dissect. So there was the Royal College of Physicians, and then there was the Company of Barber Surgeons. Equally important.
I know which one I trust so far.
And between the two of them, they were allowed 10 dissections a year total. That was it.
Why?
It was arbitrary, just because they didn't want, you know, people cutting up people left and right. They wanted it to be a very, first they wanted the right people doing it, so you had to be an official dissector.
Okay.
And secondly, they didn't want it you know, to be too base, like, oh, well, the commoners...
They wanted to keep it special. They wanted to maintain some of the magic.
I'm just
ticket
prices.
Maybe, that's right. Who wants to pay? It would be like if WrestleMania happened 20 times a year. That's not really fair. If there's 10 WrestleManias a year, then you got something.
So because there was this growing demand, more medical students, we need to dissect more corpses, they said, well, we'll make the coolest named act ever, the Murder Act of 1752, which allowed physicians to dissect the bodies of murderers who had been condemned to death.
Perfect.
And it actually added crimes that were not just punishable by death, but punishable by dissection. Because it was considered like an insult even beyond, we're not just going to kill you, then we're going to send you to a medical school and the students are going to cut you up.
That is unsettling, I would say. I would probably avoid those crimes. I avoid most crimes anyway, just to you mean. But those would be, I would add those to the list, certainly.
But this still didn't meet their demand for cadavers. We still need more. And so that's when we give rise to the grave robbers and the resurrection men, which is
the resurrection men?
The resurrection men.
I want to be a resurrection man. That's a cool thing I've ever heard.
Do you know what they do?
I don't care. I'll do anything. Anything. To be a resurrection man, this is just, he's a resurrection man.
This would be
sounds like Quentin Tarantino.
This would be like a typical Resurrection Men heist, if you want to compare it to that.
Oh my God, you're freaking out. Okay, so wait a minute. Just to clarify, not only am I something called a Resurrection Man, but I'm doing heists. Okay, what's next? Cool hat?
You probably wear a hat.
Sidearm?
Yeah.
Sidearm.
Yeah. Weapons.
Sweet shovel? What's going on?
Okay, so Resurrection Men would be paid to go to a cemetery in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And they were pros at this. They could do all of this within an hour, under an hour. They would find a grave. Usually they're looking for somebody who was poor and definitely has to be recently dead.
Okay.
Because we didn't embalm people. We didn't preserve them. So they had to be very recently dead. So, and the hope was that it would be somebody nobody would miss. And they would just dig up one into the grave, throw all the dirt onto a tarp. They would drill little holes in the top of the coffin, like perforate it so they could break it open.
Okay.
Pull the body out with a hook on a chain. Put the clothes.
That's the exact proper noise audience. Good job. As if we trained you
back
for it.
In. So you gotta undress them, put the clothes back in.
Put potatoes inside the clothes. I did this stunt sneaking out when I was a kid. Sure. Put like a mannequin head on top.
But you did this when you were a kid.
You paint a face on a balloon.
And then replace everything and be gone, and you could never tell they were there.
Resurrection.
A lot of them would have to take like public transportation, and they would say like, "This is my drunk, this is my drunk buddy that I've got with me."
So what you're telling me is old timey we get at Bernie's? Okay, so just a triple check. I'm something called a resurrection man. I'm doing heists and I'm doing weekend at Bernie's as well. I screwed up my life so bad. There was a hole in the path for me.
Some students and doctors didn't want to have to pay people, so they would just do it themselves, but they were never as good at it, which is why people would get caught a lot. The peak season was November to March, because everything was cooler.
Sure.
You can imagine
that. And festive.
And medical schools even had like secret entrances for them to deliver the bodies, like a secret place.
Okay.
You know, the back way.
I wouldn't describe myself as having a green thumb. I've killed a lot of stuff, and I know people say that, but what that means is I don't know what I'm doing with plants. But I'll tell you what, folks, fast-growing trees made it easy. They helped me to find three plants. I got two apple trees and a berry bush that are going to live in my yard, and they helped me pick the right kinds of plants for my climate. They told me how to put it in. They even answered a question about it when I called them on the phone. Imagine that. In 2024, you can call an actual expert and say, hey, I got this question for you. And they were super duper helpful. The instructions were great. And I'll tell you what, the proof's in the proverbial pudding. All three of those plants are doing gangbusters. And I look forward to eating free apples because I assume they're the most delicious kind. Fast Growing Trees will ship these plants out and directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They're going to show up looking great. Along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Right now, they got the best deals online, up to half off on select plants, and listeners to our show get an additional 15% off when using code Sawbones at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code Sawbones at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code Sawbones. Offer is valid for a limited time. Tell them we sent you. Hey, the parental gift buying season is once again upon us. Well, it's almost upon us. Why not get an early start on it? You know, why not pick up a couple of Aura frames for dear old mom, dad, your friend's mom, your cousin's dad, your son's dad? That's you, actually, if I understand genetics properly. But no, Aura frames is a great gift for anybody. I describe it as a high-tech gift that you don't have to be high-tech to know how to use. You can set it up before you give the gift. And then when you take a great picture with your phone, you can use the Aura Frames app to just wirelessly zip it to that frame, just a couple of taps, and it'll show up on the frame automatically. Imagine you could just keep everybody updated, keep everybody in the loop with what's going on in your life, and they don't have to do anything. It's just you sending along pictures to whoever you like. It is a wonderful gift that we have gotten for people in our lives with our own money, just because we think it is wonderful. And we love when friends will send a photo through Aura and pop up. We can keep up with everybody that way. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code Sawbones at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Families, of course, got wise to this and came up with all kinds of ways to guard graves against this. Sometimes it would just be as simple as they'd keep the body at their house until they knew it was decomposed enough that nobody would steal it. Sorry.
I want to go back to the resurrection man.
You could just hire a guard, or you could guard it yourself, or they would build cages around the entire grave.
I got a lot to think about. I'm going to go ahead and splurge on a corpse guard.
It was called a mort safe.
A what?
Mort safe.
Okay.
A mort safe, yeah. And sometimes they'd get found out because, so a couple of dignitaries were visiting a local medical school, and they recognized one of the cadavers on the table as U.S. Senator John Scott Harrison, who was the son of President.
Wait, are you a relative? Or...
Harrison! It's my favorite old-timey U.S. Senator!
I got his baseball card. The dog.
But these dignitaries knew him because they were his son and his nephew.
Oh, okay, now I understand. It's like your grandpapa's favorite story, right?
Then I realized it was my dad. Your great, great, great grandfather.
William Henry Harrison.
William Henry Harrison. What?
No.
No.
Now, as you can imagine, people need bodies. They'll pay a lot of money. The medical schools will pay a lot of money. And they, families were getting wise, the authorities were trying to stop grave robbers. Well, what's the easiest way to get a dead body then?
War.
So they started a war. No. Murder.
Murder. Murder most foul. Murder was my second guess.
So this led to, in Edinburgh, there were the Burke and Hare murders. 16 people were murdered altogether. And they were all, the doctors said they didn't know that this is where the bodies were coming from. But they would get their victims drunk and then suffocate them, because at the time, I guess you couldn't figure that out, that that's what happened. Like a dead body, the police were like, we're baffled. We have no idea how they died.
This poor purple and blue man. His life was already so difficult. Look at how large his tongue was. Can you imagine his struggles? His poor, he was so poor he could only afford a rope for a necktie. Heartbreaking. This case is closed.
We're done here. And as punishment, Burke he had capital punishment. The state killed him. They dissected him and displayed him as punishment, and they took his skin and made a purse out of it, which you can still go see at the Museum of Edinburgh, at the Police Museum of Edinburgh, to this day.
Cool museum.
I know. Now, here's the thing. So all this was happening, a lot of what we've talked about is in the UK.
Okay.
They eventually passed the Anatomy Act, which allowed them to execute all dead criminals, no matter how they died, which I guess solved their problems. But in the US...
Dissect. Okay,
yes. But in the US, that wasn't good enough. So we had some laws that we started to, over in the US, we're a brand new country at this point. We're trying to develop our own medical schools and have our own doctors, because we don't have many doctors at all, even the ones that came over from England. And so in the year 1784 and 1790, we start adding, again, dissection as a punishment for murder, so that we can have some bodies too. But grave robbing was still definitely happening, so we were coming against the same thing. So we're gonna finally talk about the riot. In 1788, there was a young med student named John Hicks, and he was working at New York Hospital dissecting a corpse, as was common practice. And it probably was a corpse that was robbed from a grave.
Okay.
He noticed some kids playing outside.
I thought you were going to say he found kids inside the corpse. Like a full-on, Jaws type.
He noticed kids playing outside, and they were trying to peek in the window to figure out what he was doing. So I guess he has a terrible sense of humor.
Killed the kids.
No. He picked up the cadaver's arm, which had already been detached, and waved it out the window at the children and said, "You kids get away from here, this is your mother's arm, and I'll slap you with it if you don't go away.
You know, Mr. Rogers was so different in the holidays. You could barely even watch the show. It was very mature.
Now, the kids were pretty scared.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in that weird twist of fate, one of the children had recently lost their mother. So they went home and told their dad, who got together a posse, and they
went. Of Resurrection Men, yes. Justin, are you with us? You know me. I'm in. What are you even asking, fool? Let me get an old bullet tosser. That's what I call my gun.
Brad Pitt.
George Clooney. Brad Pitt, Clooney.
Matthew
Lillard. I don't know why Matthew Lillard. You gotta have one like breakthrough performance. It's like, he was much better than I thought he would.
So they went down to the graveyard first to check to see if this was true. And unfortunately, her grave had been robbed.
Oh no!
Now there's no evidence that any of that was connected. It was just one of those weird coincidences. But that was all the evidence, of course, they needed.
Because they're old-timey dudes and they're like just jives to be able to go kill somebody.
And they're mad.
They're mad.
And they're mad. So they storm down to the college. There's about 100 of them. They completely destroy the anatomy lab. They just wreak havoc on the whole hospital. They beat the crap out of some medical students, because why not? They're always in the way.
You're right.
They also raided the home of one prominent doctor in town whose name was Sir John Temple. And as best as we can figure, the reason they picked him is because they thought his name was Surgeon. Seriously, this is what's the best. Nobody could
nice
why this guy? Why this doctor?
Nice you know, work.
Surgeon Temple. We're going to get him. So a lot of the authorities stepped in, and they actually put a lot of the doctors and students in jail for protection.
Okay.
Because this mob was growing and they knew people were mad, and they were not done because the next day they returned with 5,000 men and they were going to storm Columbia College as well. So they took off, they went down to Columbia, they wreaked some havoc there, beat some more people up, tore some more stuff up, and then they decided all the doctors and students aren't here, they're in jail, we're headed to the jail. So they got to the jail. At that point, the governor had already called in the militia. So they were met by the militia and the governor. And Alexander Hamilton was there. Because why not?
Now, this is starting to sound like a dream. And Sylvester Stallone was like, I'm really proud of you. Thanks, Scott. That's based on a real dream that
I had. We had to hear about that earlier.
Sydney's heard about it like 3 times.
It gets better every time.
Just finish your stupid story.
There is a wealthy baron who sees that we got the standoff. We got all these men who are angry, and we've got the militia and the governor and Alexander Hamilton and everybody. There's a big standoff, and this baron is standing there, this local wealthy guy. He's like, don't shoot them. We can resolve this peacefully. And then one of the men in the mob just chucks a rock at his head, knocks him out, and as he gets back up, he goes, shoot them all. And so they did, and they opened fire. Now, luckily, there were a lot of doctors nearby.
They knew right where to find them.
So many were wounded. Only 8 people died. So that, which, I mean, I think 8 people, that's not...
Still a lot. I mean, it's still a sizable...
For America's first riot, but, you know, we didn't do too much damage. And after that, that led to a lot of changes in anatomy laws. In the U.S., they started saying, you know what, why don't we also include bodies that haven't been claimed? So within 48 hours, if a body hadn't been claimed, they could, you know, send it to the med school. Although that didn't include soldiers, and it didn't include people from out of town. On the basis that if you're from out of town, maybe somebody is coming to find you. So if we die here, we're cool.
Well, I don't know about cool.
At last, we look like vagrants, because if we look like vagrants, then we're free game.
Oh, good, cool.
I don't know what that look like vagrant
what
a, means.
What an excellent, excellent uplifting coda for this episode of Sawbones. Anything else about how we get corpses or what's going to happen to us when we die in New York? Anything else you want to tack on?
Well, now, of course, it's a lot more common to donate a body to science. That was, you know, rare and frowned upon for many years, but nowadays it's accepted that that is a wonderful gift that you can provide, you know, our all of us with, not just medical students, but society. It's still, I thought this was, I didn't know this. Unclaimed bodies are still sent to medical schools and dissected. That's still in place. Although there are many more bodies that are donated, that is still done.
We'll figure.
Which I thought was bizarre.
That is bizarre. Folks, that's going to do it for us for this episode of Solvents. Thank you so much for listening to our program. I know you don't really have much choice because you're here. It's loud.
You locked the door.
Yeah. It's a real fire hazard in here, actually. If this is your first time listening, we make a new episode every Tuesday. It's on the Maximum Fun Network. You can find it at solventshow.com. Thank you to the taxpayers for the use of their theme song, their song, Medicines, which we use as the intro and outro of our program. Thank you so much to the People's Improv Theater for having us here at this lovely venue. Thank you. Until next time, I'm Justin McElroy. As always, don't drill a hole in your head.